I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast. I wasn't sure there for a moment. Your source for the information and the inspiration and general advice and coaching and everything else you need to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 245. Welcome back to the studio, Brian.
It's great to be back in the studio, Griff.
Even if you're just all alone there.
I am. I still don't have like the
cutout
of Griff and the other across the window, but someday maybe one of our listeners will create like a little Griff doll and send it to me and I can put it in the chair.
Yeah, an evil little Griff doll that will run after you and nibble on your ankles.
We totally digress.
It didn't take us long to get right off on a tangent. We have to stay on topic here.
Do we have any topics this week?
We do. We have a special guest.
Oh, I was thinking of news, but who is our special guest this week?
Well, we'll get to the news in a minute, but our guest this week is seller coach Kathy Terrell. She's back. She's of ilovetobeselling.com. Kathy has some tips and advice to stay productive and maybe help you boost your sales during the annual summer sales slowdown that some, not all, but some retailers and eBay sellers experience around the midpoint of the year. You've heard this before.
So I have.
Summer slump.
Summer slump. I always tell sellers, make sure that before they panic and think they're in a slump to do year-over-year sales. But I'm sure Kathy's got a ton of really good information for our sellers.
Well, we'll find out. And then you and I have some questions to answer. There's quite a few. Some of them are pretty interesting. So
we even had questions after all the questions we did last week.
The questions are never ending, Brian. The genius of us making eBay so complex is that we'll have questions for the podcast for the next 40 years.
Well, sometimes I get stumped by some of those questions.
Well, every week for me, thank heavens for people like David Bernstein and the product team who can help answer the questions.
Yes.
What news do you have for us this week, Brian?
Well, first, we have some important news regarding a recent eBay snafu and its remedy. On May 26, 2023, an update was made to listings with international shipping options. As part of this recent change, we inadvertently increased the quantity on some listings.
Uh-oh.
Yes, uh-oh. We understand that this may have caused sellers to cancel orders or issue refunds, but we're working to correct these quantity errors. And actually, I think the quantity errors have been addressed.
Yeah.
And here's what you need to know about the recent update. We've updated any listings to show the correct quantity available and quantity sold. For listings where sellers manually revised the quantity, we won't make any changes. For sellers who had to cancel orders, receive negative feedback, or had stockout strikes during our update, will ensure that their seller rating isn't affected.
Well, that's good to know. Sometimes our news is not all that good, but I think this was one in the interest of transparency.
Yeah, definitely an issue, and it definitely impacted some sellers, and glad we were quick to get on it.
Great.
Also in the news, have you put off applying for this year's Up and Running grant? Well, the deadline for submissions is close at hand. In fact, the window for new application closes on Friday, June 9th, 2023 at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's 3 p.m. for you on the West Coast. Don't procrastinate. We encourage all U.S. sellers to apply for the Up and Running grant package that includes $10,000 cash, a technology stipend, and business acceleration coaching. Submit your application today at https://helloalice.com/grants/eBay/ or go to the announcement board and you'll see a post that we put up on Thursday, June 1st.
Yeah, you can get to the page for submission.
And this is a really exciting program that we've done, and it expanded last year to what, 50 sellers, I believe, received the $10,000 grant, and we're going to do that again this year. Encourage any listeners to apply.
Please, please do.
And finally in the news,
yes,
the 3 in-person seller events in Florida are coming up. The first one is on June 12th in Tampa, then on June 13th in Orlando, and the last event will be on June 14th in Miami. I'll be attending all 3 of these seller events, and these are run by sellers and organized by sellers, to answer specific questions and offer tips on best practices and to listen to your comments and feedback. Whether you're new to selling or have a decade of experience, it doesn't matter. These 3 seller-sponsored events are open to all sellers, big or small, novice or longtime. This is a great opportunity to network with local sellers in your area and ask specific questions to eBay staff. So be sure to RSVP and get your ticket on the seller event site. RSVP for the event by visiting ebay.com/sellermeetings or clicking on the link in the episode overview.
And don't put it off. I haven't been to one of these in a long time, but they're always fun. So this is a way of having a fun time in Florida. It's guaranteed fun for all who attend. Plus, you get to meet Brian and maybe, you know, rag on him a little bit.
Yes, you're welcome to do that. But I'd say the most important thing for these events, I was talking to a seller yesterday about kind of in-person events in general. It's not necessarily connecting with an eBay staff member. It's the connections that you make with other sellers and the things that you learn. Anytime you have an opportunity to connect with a seller, whether it's one-on-one or in a small group or at a 40-person event, take advantage of it because you'll always come away learning something and probably getting inspired.
That's true. And I wouldn't want to discount that at all. But you have to admit that there is an exceptional bonding experience if you can group together and all sort of rag on Brian.
Yes.
It's a great way to bond.
And normally you can rag on me and I normally don't yell back or anything.
No, you don't. You're good that way. You're a good Catholic boy. That's very good of you.
Yes. They trained me well.
They did.
Sister Bernice, Sister Florence.
And Sister Mary Elephant. Well, we could go on forever about our shared sister experiences, but I think it's time for us to invite our guest into the studio, and I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
I think our listeners will be excited.
I hope so. Well, I don't like to brag, but I have been on eBay for an awful long time, since 1996, and over those, what, now 27 years, I've heard a lot of different stories told by sellers, and they change over time as the technology has changed, as eBay has grown and eBay has expanded. But there's one particular complaint that seems to come up every year, and it's about the summer retail slump, which I believe back in the early days of eBay was not such a big deal because eBay was fascinating. eBay was a new place. Everyone was buying, 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 selling, 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 selling. Well, everything's matured. E-commerce is not the new shiny thing, but it still works. There's a lot of activity going on, but more and more sellers are still saying, hey, every summer I see a slump. How can I counter that? So in order for us to figure out how you can counter it, I don't want to do it alone. We brought with us one of our family of experts who's here today. Please welcome back from ilovetobeselling.com, Kathy Terrell. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Griff. Good to be here.
We're going to talk about summer slumps, and I think you may have a few things to say about that.
Absolutely. So sellers do talk about summer slump. You know, we've all been selling for a while. We've heard this. Some sellers do experience a summer slowdown. And I emphasize some because some sellers, this is their busy time. There's a seller that I worked with in Home and Garden who sells live plants. And this is boom time for him. This is like Christmas, you know, Hanukkah season for many sellers. So just consider what you're selling. This might be your busiest time. But if for you, you do see a bit of a slowdown, a couple of things to think about. And one is you may want to take the time and you've got a family road trip plan. There's a family members you want to visit, friends you want to visit. There may be historic sites you want to visit, a cruise you've always wanted to go on. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take this little bit of slowdown and I'm going to dedicate it to friends, family, vacation, because I want to be refreshed. I want to be restored and then come back full force to get ready for back to school in fourth quarter. So consider that. I might have projects around my home that I want to work on. And I thought about you, Griff, because of your recent move. It might be, I want to do some painting in my home office. I want to reorganize my inventory for you. And there's other people that too. It's moving season for some people.
Yeah, and that's my specific thing that I'm doing. And it might be a good example of a way of spending that time is because I've moved from one location to the other, I'm building out a whole new workstation. That's going to take me a while. I actually ended all my listings. I didn't even put them on time away, so I'd have a month or so to do this. But yeah, this is a perfect time if you're feeling that slump, that those projects that you put off, like revamping your entire office or workspace, is probably a good time to do it.
It's a great time to reorganize inventory wherever you're storing your inventory. Now is the time to do that. And the other thing is, for many people, is this is shopping season because it is yard sales galore.
Oh, yeah.
So again, depending on where you are in the United States, winter might be your snowbound, your homebound. So you're not going out and acquiring inventory during your state's or your area's snow season. So for you, summertime is shop, shop, shop. And that's where your time is going. Yes, you're listing. Yes, you're shipping. But you might notice that at this time of year, it's a little slower for you. But great, you've got that extra time for those yard sales, for those thrift shops that you really, really want to address and go to. And I say, go for it. And again, as you're bringing the things in, that it gets organized so that when you're ready to list come October, November, December, and all through the winter, that you know where everything is. So do take a little bit of time to organize the inventory as it's coming in.
And I think we all find that even though we believe we're pretty organized, one of the reasons why every business does annual or semi-annual or even quarterly inventory checking is it's not the case. So no matter how careful I was, I always found something that I had listed where suddenly I couldn't find it, no matter how hard I tried to avoid it.
It's so true.
Yeah. So during a slump, it would make sense that would be the best time to look for those.
It's a great time to do a hands-on inventory check. Another great asset about doing an inventory check when you're going through or reorganizing your inventory. Actually, I just did this, Griff. I just reorganized part of my inventory. I discovered a stash of stuff that I thought I had sold out like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, good. I can list this.
Yeah, I had the same thing with one particular item that I have to list this month.
See? So you discover inventory. It's like, I don't even need to go shopping. The inventory's right here. It's just, it was hiding behind other inventory. Anyway, long story short. So guess what? It's listed now. And I do put my location in the custom field, the SKU field. I find that super, super helpful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If only we had more of those fields.
I know. I know. That's we both dream of the, we dream of those times. But the other thing is, so again, I can use the time, personal projects. You might just want to rest a bit. Sometimes people have jobs and their job, their non-eBay job, that gets busy in the summer. So it really depends what your personal lifestyle is, what your family's needs are, what your needs are. But I know there's some people listening, Griff, that are going, okay, Kathy and Griff, that's great for you. But I want to kick butt with my sales. I want to sell all summer long. The thing is, there's always something selling on eBay.
Yeah.
The thing is to find out what that is, right? It's like, okay, but what is it? And this is where you put on your thinking cap and you think about, yes, we're a global community. Yes, we ship around the world. Yes, there's a lot of different climates in the United States, but primarily spring, summer is it's warmer for most people. As you think about, okay, spring, summer clothing, lighter clothing, but also think about camping. Think about RVs. What kind of gear do people need for road trips? I talked about my seller that's so busy with live plants, and think about what do people put in their gardens besides plants? It's the statues, statuettes, the markers. All kinds of, you know this when you drive around the neighborhoods, people love to decorate their gardens and their patios and their front porches and their backyards and their pools and just start to think, what are people buying this time of year? What can I source? Because it's going to depend where you are in the U.S. and what kind of stores you have nearby. What can I source that will be selling this time of year? And I got to tell you one thing that caught me by surprise. Because I was thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be going, you know, doing the eBay for Business podcast with Griff. Let me start searching. And one thing I noticed, and this is a little nichey, but I figured let's go there. The pool floaties. Now, pool floaties are very, very common. Okay. So there's
pool noodles.
Right. There's the chairs, anything that floats in the pool. And there's a lot of imports. So it's not like, okay, let's run out and buy floating chairs. But the thing is, think unusual. What I found really interesting when I searched solds for basically pool inflatables, it's things like a duck chair, a large duck chair, a dragon floaty. So not just the regular chairs, it will be the unusual shapes and colors and jumbo, the kind where I guess you could put a couple people or like a party practically, like a party floaty. If you come across those, which you might at your area hardware store, could be a yard sale. Somebody got it. They never used it. It's still in the box. Keep an eye out for the ones that are, you know, with this grip, the unusual. It stands out.
Yeah.
And also great keywords like duck, right? Everybody knows what a duck is. Right?
But I just ducked.
I think it was a giant mallard, if I remember correctly. And I'm like, good grief, you know, yeah. And it sold. And there was another one. It was like a giant, I think it was a giant dragon. I went, yes. Again, great keywords. It was very colorful. keep your eye out for things like that where you go, okay, there's a lot of this kind of thing, but the one I'm looking at standing here at this thrift store, standing here at this Lowe's or Home Depot is very unusual.
Yeah. I was just in Costco a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And they were having a ridiculously cheap sale on beach towels. There were only four or five different colors and patterns, but they were ridiculously cheap and big ones of, you know, like Costco high quality. And I was thinking, I'm not ready for this, but I should be buying this entire lot. It's the right time of year. I could almost double my money on some of these, and that would be a good profit. So you have to always be looking and thinking. And like you said, outdoors, great. I found this at Costco as a potential source, and a lot of people use Costco for arbitrage. But is it too late? It's June now as we speak. Is it too late to be buying for the outdoors?
Not at all, because they're shopping now. People tend to really shop in season is what I'm noticing. So for instance, like with summer, they're shopping now. And I don't know about where you are, Griff, but here in New York City, it just got warm this past couple weeks.
Oh.
We've had a very chilly spring. So it's just now that people are getting into short sleeve, sleeveless. And don't forget, too, when people are traveling, is people take these, again, because a lot of times they're driving, they're packing the car with the noodles, with the floaties, because they want to have it with them when they're visiting their friends, where they're going to the hotel. Don't forget coolers and unusual colors. Is it branded with the favorite sports team? And of course, it's authentic. So you're looking for the logo that it's MLB or NFL, but always unusual, different. And again, think outdoors. And if you're not sure, if you're like going, okay, I live in New York City, so I'm not really sure what people are putting on patios, is real simple. Go on Home Depot site, go on Lowe's, search outdoor living. I actually did this. There's all kinds of unique stores that will be good for your area. And go and look. It's more like a mom and pop. Go and look. What does it look like? What are they showing? What colors are trending? What styles are trending? Is everything very taupey brown? Is everything very colorful? Don't forget, too, all the fun outdoor lights. People love to decorate with all kinds of lights with things, you know, beer mugs attached, steins are attached, the flamingos are attached, the umbrellas are attached. People love unusual.
Has the tiki craze died out or is it still popular?
Always strong. Tiki is always strong. But again, outdoors, outdoors. And don't forget, while you're listing spring and summer and outdoors, people will be traveling to climates that are colder. So they might be driving to the northern part of the United States or up to Canada or perhaps taking a trip overseas. And most stores, like if I go into Macy's right now, it's going to be very hard to find a thick sweater or a winter weight jacket this time of year. So that's a great one for people that come onto eBay. And yes, in the middle of July, you will be selling winter coats, scarves and hats, gloves, ski gear.
Sweaters. Sweater weather. The reason why I find this interesting is I've just been exposed to a phenomenon here in Palm Springs area I didn't know about because it's really easy right now to get around. There doesn't seem to be anyone here. And friends of ours who've been here for 10 years said, oh yeah, the snowbirds have all left. So the people who don't want to be here during the heat, they take off in May and June and they go north. And then they return in force around the holidays. And suddenly for 3 or 4 months, traffic is horrible. You can't get into stores. So it's something to look forward to. But like you said, the first thing I'm thinking about, there's a sourcing opportunity here. It's knowing not just what's hot or what you can buy, but the behaviors and in my case, the migration patterns of the locals.
But it's good to think about because things like the sweaters. So if I have a pile of inventory and I'm listing it's June, July, I know for myself, I would be reaching for the bathing suits. And that's another thing to think about. So I'm listing my bathing suits, I'm listing my beach towels, my coolers, my outdoors gear. Mix in some sweaters, some winter gear, because it will sell in the summer, especially if you're shipping internationally, but even if you just ship domestically, it will sell. And oftentimes you'll get the sale because you're listing it. And other sellers, it's been up for 5 months, 6 months, and they're not actively listing fall, winter gear.
Yeah.
Because they're busy listing the spring, summer. And one other thing to keep in mind, so spring, summer, outdoor living, camping, road trips, all kinds of fun things for the pool or for the beach. And don't forget, back to school. Now, here in New York, back to school doesn't start till after Labor Day. But in the South, it starts at the end of July.
I know, it's terrible.
So think about that. And when you're doing back to school, so again, you know, look at the clothes that you're listing. If you have electronics, you know, that's going to be popular. Backpacks are sort of nonstop with school. Don't forget teachers, that the teachers shop, the professors shop, also parents shop for themselves while they're busy shopping for their kids. Don't forget the adult gear while you're busy listing for school gear of all ages, you know, your pre-K, your K, you know, the grade school kids, junior high, high school, and college. But don't forget the teachers, because they shop too.
And they don't just shop for themselves. A lot of them look for supplies.
Yes.
Because budgets are cut, and they actually have to go out and find good deals on notebooks and pens and paper and the other things that are the backbone of a teacher's classroom.
It's so true. And again, when you're listing that kind of thing, and again, it's the colorful. You know, where you look at it, it's that pretty pink. It's the prints so much. That, I mean, here in New York for the backpacks, I don't know about where you are. It's black. They want black. You know?
Well, it's always been the case.
Right? It's the little guys, you know, you'll see, like I'll see the, you know, the pre-K, you know, the very, very young grade school kids, you know, you see the turtles and you see the pink and you see all, but you know, once you get to a certain age, it's all black.
All black. That's the New York, it's been that way for years, right?
We don't do navy. We just do black.
I know.
Because they walk down, they got the black coats. I'm totally serious. Black coats, black backpack.
In the middle of summer.
Yep.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It is funny. It is funny. But that's the thing to look at is with the summer is what works for you and your family. If you're in a situation and perhaps during the year, you know, you put aside some money during the months where you're making, you know, really good money, which for you could be back to school. It could be fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Every seller's business is different. So you're all, everybody has sort of different, you know, peak times and to know when those times are and you stash some money because you might want, it's like, you know what, I'm going to really spend time. I was reading one seller on Instagram and their kids are out of school in the summer and they scale back their selling, but they plan for it all year because they really want to spend the summer playing with their kids. So they do their eBay, but it's like maybe 3 or 4 hours a day. And the rest of the time they're enjoying their kids.
Priorities.
Yeah.
It's important, right? They grow up so fast. And then you'll say, I missed it. I was packing stuff and I missed your entire childhood.
Exactly. And others, empty nest, your kids are up and grown or you don't have kids is, you know what? Summertime, depending on where you are, man, you have killer yard sales in your area. And you know what? Enjoy, because not everybody does. And you're just going to get great inventory and enough to get you through the winter months. And you're just going to go out there and show. And again, you've planned for it. You've got the money for your inventory. So summertime for you, if it slows down a bit, is that's extra time to hit more yard sales and enjoy that.
I'm looking forward to returning to the sourcing lifestyle, which I haven't really done since 2017, 16. After Howie got sick, I kind of stopped and became a homebody. But now that I'm here and there's places to shop and I'm thinking I'm going to need to start selling again, I'm looking forward to it. Although I don't know if the yard sale season here in Palm Springs happens during the summer because it's so hot.
I was going to say, it's so hot and because all your snowbirds are gone, but at the same time, they might donate some really good things.
Yeah, there's lots of places. There's consignment stores.
Yes, they sort of downscale their items, you know, as they're going out of town. There's other tips for increasing your sales besides sourcing, and your profit's always in the buy. What you buy is really impacting your profits as a seller, your cash flow, how much you're making on each item. Well, there's other things that you can do with your listings and social media. And I've got a free tip sheet on my website, ilovetobeselling.com, and it's top 10 tips to ignite eBay summer sales. So feel free to grab that because in addition to sourcing tips, I've got some ideas for you with your keywords and your titles and your social media that'll help you to get more sales during the summer.
You can find this if you go to ilovetobeselling.com. Just click on the free tips tab and then select the one that's labeled top 10 tips to ignite eBay summer sales. You can download it, complimentary copy, and hopefully it'll give you some ideas.
Absolutely.
Well, Kathy, it's been a pleasure. Take care and we'll talk to you again.
You too, Griff.
Kathy Terrell owns the website ilovetobeselling.com. She spent many years coaching and teaching sellers how to sell properly and how to sell effectively with success on eBay. And I encourage you to visit her website, ilovetobeselling.com, and check out the free tips tabs to get the top 10 tips to ignite eBay summer sales.
You got questions?
We got answers. And our first question this week was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller John Queen. And it's a long one. He asked three questions. We're getting more of these, by the way.
Yes.
We're not going to tell you not to ask a number of questions, but we may actually start breaking these up, so we'll answer one in each episode. But right now, we can do this. So, John, we'll answer all three of your questions. Brian, why don't you start off?
Happy to. John writes, "Hello, Griffin Brian. The eBay standard envelope is a great way to ship trading cards, stamps, and postcards 3 ounces or less with a value of $20 or less. Kudos to eBay on that. However, there are so many other small, flat, lightweight items that can and should be in the eBay standard envelope program. For example, ViewMaster reels, motorcycle patches, casino chips, coins and currency, Boy Scout merit badges, etc., etc. What is eBay doing about expanding this program to other categories?" Well, John, we've actually mentioned this many times in past episodes. The shipping team has not announced any expansion of the eBay standard envelope feature to more categories at this time, but they are hoping to do so at some point in the future.
Yeah, and I think we've actually stated that, or the team has stated that publicly, but they have not committed to an actual date and time. I believe that the reason is there's a whole lot of data that needs to be collected about the efficacy of the current program in its limited categories before they can actually expand it, because they have to, you know, the shipping team has to work with USPS on this, and USPS has to agree to it. And if you've ever used the eBay standard envelope, it's usually glitch-free, but there's still some USPS clerks who don't accept it at the special rate and will say you have to, you know, we're going to have to charge you more. So until that's all straightened out, we're not going to increase the volume. I think that's the reason why you haven't seen it expanded yet. But the plan is, of course, we would love to expand it in the future. So John continues for his second question. "I have over 2,800 listings for collectible stamps, including over 800 Canadian stamps. Most collectors of Canadian stamps live in Canada. Imagine that. Using eBay-generated labels for USPS First Class International Mail with tracking to Canada costs about $13 to $14, even for an ounce or two. That same weight package to the U.S. cost 84 cents using the eBay standard envelope. The new eBay international shipping program doesn't change the cost any. It's still very expensive to ship lightweight items to Canada. I can slap a stamp on an envelope to mail something to Canada, but there's no tracking. I take the risk of a buyer claiming they never got it, and the process would be manual and not through a label created through eBay. Any suggestions on how to get a few ounces to Canada without costing an arm and a leg or having to manually address envelopes?" Well, I read this twice and then three times because I wasn't quite sure what the question was when it came to using the eBay international shipping option now. I think, now, John, you will forgive me for making this assumption if it's not correct, but you can use the eBay standard envelope to ship an international sale through the eBay international shipping program. And that's because, remember, when you use the program, you're not shipping directly to a place like Canada. You're shipping to a hub within the U.S. So if you want to make this the least expensive option for your buyers, you want to use the eBay standard envelope and you want to choose eBay international shipping. And that low cost of using the standard envelope, like you said, 84 cents, will take you all the way to the hub. And now this is where it gets interesting. Because the value is so low, and our friend Chad Stewart, who runs the international shipping program, explained this to us. For Canada, if an item is worth $300 or less, it goes from the hub to Canadian customs. This is not a duties paid shipment. This is a duties unpaid shipment. So then it gets into customs, and it's an envelope. eBay's team, shipping team, knows that about 90% of the packages and envelopes that go into Canadian customs get cleared with no problem and then go right to the buyer without any assessed duties. 10%, however, will be assessed. Even at a low cost, there may be additional dollars slapped on. That's how the program works, John.
John, our recommendation is to use the eBay Standard Envelope Service to ship stamps to Canada and to alert international, in your case, Canadian, buyers in your descriptions that the items may be subject to Canadian customs and taxes prior to delivery.
Yeah. Is it ideal? Maybe not. And some of your buyers may be unhappy, but remember, the onus is no longer on you. That's the beauty of the eBay International Shipping Program. Once you get it to the hub, it's on eBay's dime, it's on eBay's shoulders. Nothing that happens on that point has any impact on you. And I think maybe explaining, not in great detail, but explaining, as Brian just said, if you're buying from within Canada, the item may end up being held in customs and they may assess a few more dollars tax or customs duty. That's being honest and upfront. I think that's the only recommendation that we can give that's going to give you the lowest cost. And if you're going to slap a stamp on an envelope and ship it, as you know, you're taking the risk. Buyer can always say, I never got it. But why would you take that chance? With the eBay International Shipping Program, all you have to do is get it to the hub and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Good advice, Griff. And John's last question. Lastly, the Seller Hub Manage Active Listings page is a great resource for reviewing inventory, changing prices and quantities on the fly, etc. What's missing and is sorely needed is a listing age column showing how many days, weeks, years, or eons an item has been listed. Sellers should have this information visible so that they can sort their buy it now listings by how long they've been posted. This would help greatly in identifying those listings that need to be promoted, discounted, or otherwise marketed in a different way to move, especially for sellers like me with thousands of listings. Thanks for your time, and I hope to hear your responses. Regards, John Queen. John QQ is his user ID.
Well, John, I don't know if you could hear it, but I could actually hear sellers who are currently listening to this podcast squealing with delight because you're in luck. This sort option, it already exists. There's an optional column on the ActiveView page called Start Date, and you can add it in ActiveView if it's not showing. So if your ActiveView page isn't displaying this column, click the Customize link on the top of the ActiveView and then check the box for Start Date under Timing. This will add the column for Start Date to your ActiveView page. And by the way, when you're in that Customize page, you can use the right window to sort of sort how you want your columns to appear. Now, once you've done this and you've saved it, when you go back to ActiveView, you will see a column that says Start Date. And you can use this column to sort all of your active listings to show the oldest or newest listings in chronological order based on the day each started. Now, granted, this doesn't show you a duration, although it's not hard to figure it out. If something says its start date was January 1st, 2020, you can quickly make an assumption that, you know, you can do the math and say, well, it's, you know, it's over 3 years now. But it only shows you just the start date. But you can utilize, as I said, you can utilize that start date and it'll help you determine which listings are the oldest. And then you can make your moves on how you're going to alter or market them. So, yeah, John, we were able to give you what you want.
Great suggestion. And hopefully he will find value in that.
We talked about this a few episodes ago, and I think we have to make it a running theme that a lot of sellers may not have the time or the inclination to actually go out and discover these different parts of Seller Hub. It's so robust. It has so much in it.
But this particular one, to your point earlier, there's a customized link. And so if it's not defaulted on, it'll take the seller doing some exploration to discover that that's an option that they can add.
Exactly. And whenever you see on any eBay page for selling the link for customize, click it so that you can quickly learn exactly what it is that you can add or subtract to your view or to a service. It makes a big difference. Well, John, we hope that answered your questions.
Some good advice for John. Our next question was sent to podcast@ebay.com by seller Tammy. Often when I am creating a shipping label, I notice the buyer paid more for shipping than I'm paying. Well, that is nice to get the extra money. I'm afraid I'm not being competitive with other sellers who don't charge that much. I remember on a podcast a few months ago, tried to find it but cannot, you mentioned a setting that gives the buyer the same shipping quote as I am paying. I called eBay and they told me the only way around that is to invoice the buyer with the lesser shipping fee.
Oh, geez.
I know.
We have to address that.
Don't listen to that. I'm hoping there's an easier solution than that from what you stated on the show. Thank you so much in advance for your help. Love the podcast, Tammy D.
Oh, Tammy.
I'm glad she wrote in instead of just following along with what she was told via help.
Yeah, we'll be fair and we'll be gentle with our whoever the customer support rep who gave that advice, but it's not the right advice. And I'll send this into the team for coaching. So, Tammy, eBay sellers have access to discounted carrier shipping rates, which they can elect to either pass on to their buyers or keep. And if they decide they want to keep the discount for themselves, then the buyer is shown the full standard retail rate. Now, you can configure these settings by going to My eBay, then clicking the Account tab, then clicking Shipping Preferences. And I want you to look for the Edit link for the option that says Offer Carrier-Specific Discounts for Buyers. Once you click that, on the next page, you'll see you have three options. There's three radio buttons, and each one gives you a different setting that you can elect. The first one says, offer a discount on standard online and in-store carrier rates, which means you can set the percentage of the discount that you want to provide to your buyers. You can do this for shipping domestically or internationally. Now, I should add here that if you select an international one, but you're shipping through the eBay International Shipping Program, that doesn't apply. I think this page probably has to be updated at some point. That's the first option. So you can set a percentage of how much of the discount you want to provide to your buyers. The second one is to just offer the full 100% of each of the three carriers' discounted rates. That means the amount that you pay, the discounted amount for each of these services, that will be passed on in the listing directly to your buyer. They'll see the same rate for shipping that you get charged. And the last one is, I don't want to offer any carrier-specific discounts. I want to keep it all for myself. So those are the three different options you have. Once you've selected the one that you want to use, you click Save, and now they'll apply to all of your listings. You can offer a percentage, you can offer it all, or you can offer none. So it's up to you what you want to offer.
Griff, do you know what our default setting is on this one?
You know, I don't.
I don't either.
I'd be curious. Tammy, let us know, when you go to this page for the first time, what is the default that's been set up by eBay for somebody who's never gone to this page to change that? I'd be curious to know that too.
Yeah. And Tammy, one other thing to keep in mind, whether or not you pass on the savings from your discounted shipping rates is up to you. But should you decide to pocket the discount, the difference in shipping costs could put you at a competitive disadvantage, kind of like as you thought in your email.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't pass the savings on to your buyers. So before you decide either way, make certain to conduct a little research into shipping prices for your particular listing in order to stay fully informed regarding where your shipping costs will land in comparison to your competition in the same category.
Good advice, Brian. That's really important. We love when you conduct the research. You know, you really got me thinking about this. Now, I'm curious to know what the default is. So if it's not Tammy, anyone out there, if you go to this page for the first time, email us and let us know what the default was. Well, Tammy, thanks for the question. Our next question is, this is really topical and timely and of our time. Seller Greg has this question. His email asks, hi, gang. It seems like recently all you hear about is the overuse of ChatGPT or ChatAI. What are your thoughts about using this for titles and item descriptions and listings? Thanks for the response. P.S. I would love to have the Bluetooth mug. And this is user ID Utah12Man, and it's Greg Glover. Well, Brian, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts are it's a tool, and if it can speed up the writing of your title and description, go ahead and leverage it. But remember, you are responsible for the content that goes into your listing, and so if you do use these tools, I strongly encourage you to make sure that you're editing and reading them closely before just posting them.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. I haven't had the time to explore any of this, so I don't know how any of this works. I've just read about it. My concern with using any tool, and of course, no matter what the tool is, you can always edit the results, right? I like brevity. I don't like long, florid paragraphs in a listing. It's not what I want to see. I want to see the dimensions. I want to see the details of the item and the important aspects of it. I don't want an editorial that's, you know, lots of flourishes and how wonderful something is. If your AI tool can create descriptions and titles that really work, mazel tov, it's just a tool. Use it. I don't foresee that that use of the tool is actually going to result in like Skynet and a takeover of the world and annihilation of the human race. Although, who knows? You may start using it and suddenly someone who looks an awful lot like Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up at your house and says, if you want to continue listing, come with me.
You made the comment about brevity. Within the eBay community this week, there was a poster who posted about AI and she had used it. And she said, this sure is a long paragraph that basically says nothing about my item.
There you go. See?
So it was a fun little thread. And she had an interesting perspective and a very real life example that she used that she posted in the eBay community.
Well, I keep an eye out on this. Of course, you know, our eBay teams are constantly looking at every available tool and who knows what's going on there. They may actually be considering some use of this in a way.
And didn't we start to test it on Android or one of the...
Did we?
Yeah, I think so. There's a test going on.
Well, that makes sense. Android first. So yeah, in the meantime, if you want to use a third-party tool for creating text, knock yourself out. Just keep in mind that you want it to be effective. So yes. Keep an eye on the text that's created.
Yeah, you're responsible for your listing, photos, text, all of it.
So I'm going to read the next one, the next email, because this one, it got me thinking. I had to go back and listen to the segment from last week, and it's an email that was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Gary, who says, I don't think what you said in your most recent podcast, which was number 244 last week, is correct in regards to store names. I changed my store name a few years ago and did not lose my URL, metrics, or followers. I urge you to look into this matter, as this question has come up several times in questions. Signed, Gary, Funmerica Comics. He's written to us before.
Cool. Well, Gary, sorry for any confusion. We didn't say that a subscriber loses their store URL. What we said is that if you open a store for the first time, the system creates a URL that is based on your chosen store name. If you subsequently change your store name, the store URL does not change to reflect the new store name. That is, it will show your original store name. However, the old URL will still point to your existing eBay store. Nothing is lost. You're correct with that.
So I hope that clears up any confusion, Gary. Our last question is from a longtime listener and contributor to the podcast, Suzanne, who writes, thanks for answering my questions about time away. I was driving while listening and had to pull over because I was laughing so hard. By the way, I had a lovely vacation and I only peeked a couple times. Sorry, habits are hard to break, but I'm working on it. One thing I noticed is that a couple of buyers who had purchased items while I was on time away messaged me asking when I was going to ship. So I started to wonder if the banner for time away could be larger or brighter or highlighted in some way. What say you? Thanks again for a very enjoyable response to my query. P.S. I had the automatic response on, but still got messages. Have a great summer. Suzanne Shearman of Distelfink Antiques.
Well, first off, Suzanne, we could make the away banner a full page with huge text and blinking neon lights and pointers. And some buyers would still ask you when you plan on shipping their purchase.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it doesn't matter what you do. An impatient buyer is just going to say, yeah, you're away. When are you going
to
ship?
So one thing you can do is set up an auto response to use during time away. The option is available on the same page you use to set up time away. And that's at www.ebay.com/VAC/time away.
Yeah, and I think she's already done this and she's still got messages.
Yep.
But I think the important thing, Suzanne, this should be your goal, is you should completely disconnect from eBay during your vacation, including reading and answering messages. So don't stop now. You're making progress. But next time you put your store on time away and you set up your auto responses to answer any messages sent by buyers, Suzanne, relax. Enjoy your late afternoon beverage while basking in the angled golden rays of a late summer afternoon. As you lie back languidly on your beach recliner in your two-piece beautiful bathing suit with the cool, refreshing sea breeze lightly tousling your hair and the faint aroma of sea salt and sunscreen lotion wafting all around you, it's heaven. No? Now close your eyes, sip your beverage. Delicious. What? It's all gone? No more drinky poo? Not to worry. Look. Here comes that handsome cabana boy sauntering over right now with another daiquiri and a dry towel. eBay. What's eBay? Oh, thank you, cabana boy.
So now I know why you've written a book and I haven't.
Yeah, it wasn't a great book. Didn't have any of that stuff in it. Anyway, Suzanne, good luck.
Yes, Suzanne, I'm glad that you had a great vacation or enjoyable vacation, and hopefully you'll take a full vacation next time. No eBay. If you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. I hear the phone ringing in the cabana right now. Call that hotline at any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and who knows, we might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now your 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
And with apologies to E.M. Forster, remember your motto, only disconnect. From eBay, that is. On your time away, this should be your motto, only disconnect.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we reference during the episode.
Now, on our next episode, we will welcome eBay seller Lori Raths for her first appearance, and she's going to come with advice on hiring and training your first employee.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week from ilovetobeselling.com, eBay seller and selling coach Kathy Terrell.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed in part by Libsyn and Podcast 411.